See, I don't know. Technically, I guess I'm in for Art, who's in for George, or maybe I'd just say I'm in for George, who is going to be replaced by Art, but Art will be back on tomorrow night, and then on Sunday night as well. It's the annual prediction show, although I guess this is sort of the prediction weekend. George will be back on New Year's Day Eve or New Year's Day night to do a show also about predictions for 2007. And the only thing I didn't predict is that I'll be in here tonight, but I'm looking forward to this. It's going to be a great show. John J. Harper will join us next hour. My name is Ian Punnett. Howard Bloom later on this hour, too, on Coast to Coast AM. And I'll get back to Howard in just a second. A thought on John J. Harper. I had somewhat of a catastrophe this week. A car that I have rather enjoyed driving burnt up. Not in a kind of a catastrophic kind of, car fire kind of way, which would have been actually sort of cool because I'm sort of fond of car fires as long as nobody's getting hurt in them. I love watching them. I could pull over on the side of the road, pull out a lawn chair, and watch a car fire for about a half an hour. But anyway, no, it just the valves melted down and it was going to be very expensive to fix. And it was a car that I'd had for a long time, so it just seemed easier to find a mechanic that wanted to buy it and deal with the hassle. And I had to go buy a new car, and that's a hassle in itself. And then I was looking at all these warranties, and this is where John J. Harper comes into this next hour, is that I was wrestling on the cusp between two cars. One that had a warranty to the year 2016 and one that was warrantied until 2012. And that's when the phone rang. And just as I was musing to myself about whether or not there would be anything past 2012, is it worth paying the extra money to get a warranty to the year 2016? I was asked to step in for Art, who was going to step in for George. And they said, do you want to keep the guest, John J. Harper? He's going to be talking a little bit amongst the many things that he'll get to as a clinical hypnotherapist, electronics engineer, medical research scientist, writer, speaker, and editor-in-chief and researcher about, the possibility of life coming to an end on the year 2012. And I said, I was just wondering about that. Book him. So we'll be talking about all sorts of stuff with John J. Harper. We'll get to many of his pet subjects, including things he's talked about before on Coast to Coast, and we'll get his keen insights both into the future and into the DNA that's in our bodies and whether or not they are liquid crystal semiconductors. And we'll talk to him about diseases, about the future, about his work with the Department of Defense, et cetera. But underlying all of that is just the theme of, which car should I get, John? And which is it worth getting a warranty to the year 2016, or would I just be wasting my money? We'll both find out coming up next hour. Also, the pictures of Saddam Hussein had not been released the last time I cracked on a TV. CNN was promising me as a viewer that they would be showing some of the video and or still photos of Saddam Hussein's executions, but only the appropriate pictures, only the appropriate images. What images of a guy getting hanged are appropriate, really? I'm not exactly sure because I didn't see them. They hadn't aired since the last time I watched television. But we'll talk about the implications of the execution of Saddam Hussein coming up with Howard Bloom and more, including crypto news next on Coast to Coast AM. My name's Ian Punnett. Bloom will perhaps be coming up this hour. I thought so, but we're having trouble getting in contact with him right now. But if not, we'll go to open lines and we'll shoot you the numbers coming up at the bottom of the hour on Coast to Coast AM. But we decided not to go with an open line show, although that's the tradition on Friday night, because Art's doing one on Friday night and Sunday night with predictions. And then, of course, we'll be taking some calls coming up on Monday night with George. So just keep that in mind. This ordinarily would be an open line show, but we're going to go with our guest, John J. Harper, coming up, and we'll be talking about the changes to our climate consciousness and civilization in the year 2012. And that is, of course, also known to astrophysicists as solar cycle 24. Still feeling a little of that here in Minnesota, where I live. Here it is just a few days after Christmas, and all I was wearing was a sweater today, not even a jacket. I think I've worn like a light jacket or a raincoat more than once or twice even this whole year, and here it is almost January. It's going to be like that for a while yet, and I hope you had a Merry Christmas if that's what you celebrate, and if you don't celebrate it, I hope you're relieved that it's over. At least you don't have to be hearing all those songs you hate and everything else. And life will get back to normal coming up very shortly. Saddam Hussein has been executed, though. And that is in crypto news tonight. He was hanged by the Iraqi coalition government in the fairest trial that has been held in Iraq for decades. Was it a fair trial by American or international standards? Probably not. Was it more of a chance than Saddam Hussein ever gave his hundreds of thousands of victims? In my opinion, overwhelmingly. Was this verdict just in light of the fact that the trial was flawed? I don't know. But is it justice that Saddam Hussein should be hanged in full view of the country that he terrorized? You betcha. Saddam Hussein's family will know his fate. And they will have a body to bury, and that's better than tens of thousands of his people who merely disappeared in the night, who were killed to suit the will of Saddam Hussein or his sick kids, only to be buried anonymously in unmarked graves. According to news reports, Hussein's lawyers attempted a last-minute appeal asking the United States to intercede. How'd you like to have been the one making that phone call to the White House? President Bush, about trying to kill your father. My client says he's really, really very sorry about that. We were wondering. In a U.S. court, Hussein's attorneys even argued that because Hussein also faces a civil lawsuit in Washington for his crimes, he has rights as a civil defendant that would be violated if he is executed. That he had not received notice of those rights and the consequences and the lawsuit would have on his estate, his attorneys argued. So to protect those rights, quote, defendant Saddam Hussein requests an order of this court providing a stay of his execution until further notice of this court. That, according to his attorney, Nicholas Gilman, didn't work. Seems funny, though, doesn't it? Saddam Hussein making an argument for rights to hear his lawyers talking about the rule of law. Okay, yeah, now Saddam sees them as important. We'll be watching Iraq throughout the show tonight. The situation could get very violent. Well, more violent than usual. The major population areas will be in lockdown. The Baathists, Al-Qaeda, other loyalists or opportunists are patient. You can't keep a bad man down for long. They will be back. What does executing Saddam Hussein actually accomplish? I don't know. Probably not much. I mean, the hearts and minds of the Iraqi people won't likely be swayed by it one way or another. They might be impressed. I really like the actor John Lithgow, but he gives one of the hammiest evil genius performances ever recorded on film in the Sylvester Stallone movie Cliffhanger. By the way, the new Rocky Balboa is a good film. As the sociopathic Quaylen, John Lithgow plays a man with the same dispassion for the pain of others as Saddam Hussein, and he delivers a line that has the ring of truth. He says, kill a few people, they call you a murderer. Kill a million, and you're a conqueror. Go figure. Something like that. The successful execution of Saddam Hussein just might prove that untrue, or at least deserving of the addendum, kill a few people, they call you a murderer. Kill a million, and you're a conqueror. Lose power, and you'll be treated like a murderer again. Or maybe Saddam Hussein's death proves something different to the West and to the Middle East. Maybe it's not the same thing. To the West, it might prove to some doubting Thomases that the Iraqi coalition government has a strong enough foundation to build a future on. To the Middle East, maybe millions of doubting Ahmeds might see that the U.S. is not a paper tiger. Maybe some people will build new statues to the martyrdom of Saddam Hussein. Maybe some people will build new statues of Saddam just so they can relive the joy of tearing them down again. Maybe the outcomes are unpredictable, good or bad. And maybe that's good or bad, that we can't predict the outcomes. Saddam Hussein and a handful of his minions forced the people through his government and military might to execute hundreds of thousands of citizens. The U.S. and the leaders of the recently elected by hundreds of thousands of Iraqis used the force of its government and military might to execute a handful of terrorists and terrorizers. And so maybe that's all that this execution proves, that the difference between a government trying to serve the people and a government that believes the people should serve it are the number of people that it kills. Or maybe that it's wrong for Saddam Hussein to kill his own people, but after years of selfish tyranny, that it's right for his own people to kill him. Maybe it doesn't mean any of that. Maybe you've got some other thoughts. Maybe we'll get to those coming up when we get to open lines. Maybe we'll talk to Howard Bloom. Cross your fingers. In other crypto news, a giant ice shelf the size of 11,000 football fields has snapped free from Canada's Arctic, leaving a trail of icy boulders floating in its wake. The Art mentioned this last night. I didn't hear it. The mass of ice broke from the coast of Ellesmere Island, south of the North Pole. Warwick Vincent of Laval University, that studies Arctic conditions, traveled to the newly formed ice island and couldn't believe what he saw. It was extraordinary, he said, adding that in 10 years of working in the region, he has never seen such a dramatic loss of sea ice. This is a piece of Canadian geography that no longer exists. Well, it exists. It's just offshore now. The collapse was so powerful that earthquake monitors 250 kilometers away picked up tremors from it. Scientists say it is the largest event of its kind in 30 years and point their fingers at climate change as a major contributing factor. We can ask John J. Harper about that coming up next hour. 11,000 football fields of ice. It's hard to imagine. Think of it this way. You would need at least three times that, three times the 11,000 football fields of ice before you could find a football field that the Vikings could score on these days. Will this help? Honda Motor Corporation, Japan's third largest vehicle maker, plans to begin leasing a pricey new hydrogen-powered fuel cell, a fuel cell car in Japan and the United States in 2008. By evolving a next model based on this, I think the level of technology will become very close to that of mass-produced ordinary vehicles within 10 years, said the Honda president. You know, as these things usually go, once something becomes popular, the sort of democratization of the new technology tends to happen at an accelerated rate. So hang on. We'll find out whether it'll help global warming. I doubt it'll be any help to the Vikings. A French-made spacecraft began its 2.5-year search for undiscovered planets suitable for human habitation outside our solar system, scientists said at physorg.com, one of my favorite sites. A French-made spacecraft began its 2.5-year search. The results of this mission may not be known for a while. Right after the French scientists gave birth to the rocket, of course, they all took 3 years maternity leave. So, you know. Looking at the New York Post, Cindy Adams has her predictions out. You can link up to these at coasttocoastam.com, I believe. New York Post predictions include those of psychic Paula Roberts. She predicts a presidential win for Hillary in 08 with John Edwards as vice president. Also, Kansas has an early record-breaking corn harvest. Wow. Nothing against a corn harvest prediction, but as prediction shows go, that's not very sexy. This, however, would get some headlines. Let's hope it's not true. Paula Roberts also predicts large cluster of Katrina victims unearthed in New Orleans. John Cohan, who labels himself psychic to the stars, has predicted that Kevin Federline will hook up with Lindsay Lohan and maybe make a baby together. Okay. You know, I guess that counts as a prediction. I hope that there are more interesting ones coming up on Saturday and Sunday night with Art Bell on the prediction show, or on Monday night when George comes back and does predictions. You know, if you really want to impress me, tell me that that Kevin Federline is going to hook up with Kid Rock. Now you're going out on a limb. You know, Charlie Sheen and Pam Anderson will find one another, says John Cohan. The hot affair lasts 6 months. Oh, well, that'll be a shock. You mean a short and overly hyped celebrity hookup? Wow, that's new. How about this, though? Marlo Thomas gets into politics. He's going to break into politics. If I was her, I would break into the office of the plastic surgeon that did all that Botox, if you ask me. I know that sounds mean and catty, but, you know, either take some out of one side and even it up, or put some more in the other. But right now it's a little, I don't know, looks a little lopsided. Also, he predicts troubles for Robert Downey Jr. You know, how about predicting the year that he doesn't have trouble? And Rosie O'Donnell gets an Oscar for playing old-time actress Patsy Kelly in a Four Hanky film. Yeah, maybe. I'll predict this. Rosie O'Donnell will get an Oscar Meyer Wiener. That's all I'm willing to say. By the way, she was tied with Satan on a list of the biggest villains of 2006. The Associated Press and AOL asked more than 1,000 adults to name the worst villains of the year. Rosie O'Donnell was tied for seventh place with the Devil, Oprah, Tom Cruise, George Clooney, Brad Pitt, and Colin Farrell. They each received 1% of the vote. President Bush topped the list of the biggest villains with 25%, three times the percentage for Osama bin Laden. In other categories, Oprah was tied with Jesus on the list of biggest heroes, but she wasn't at the top. Nope. President Bush topped the list of biggest heroes with 13%, so he was tops both on the list of heroes and villains. Doesn't that pretty much explain where our country stands right now? And I'm sure some of that will be coming up when we talk with Howard Bloom, and perhaps even later on with John J. Harper. Finally, Baltimore County police are looking for a woman who impersonated an officer and took $15 from a man after a traffic stop. You know, I'll stop and digress for just a second, and I will just say that this story has come up a couple of times about cops out there who are impersonating, or sorry, people who are impersonating police officers and pulling other people over. And this I predict will become, I mean, I'm not much of a psychic, but I mean, just from a grassroots kind of guy at the end of the bar kind of prediction, this is coming up a lot. And this has happened in my neighborhood. This has happened with women who have told me that they have gotten pulled over by people only to get kind of a creepy feeling as the cop was coming up to the side of the car that he wasn't a real police officer. There was a story in the news of somebody who was calling 911 and he was trying to verify that it was, in fact, a cop that was chasing him. And it's very complicated because it's just so easy to get the sort of material that this person was using to impersonate a police officer. But anyway, there you go. Baltimore County police are looking for a woman who impersonated an officer and took $15 from a man after a traffic stop. The woman was driving a royal blue Chevrolet Malibu with a red light on the dashboard. So the guy pulled over. The man said that the woman asked for his license and registration. She was wearing a revolver on her hip. She had a dark blue Stetson-style hat. She was wearing light blue pants with a black stripe and a light blue shirt and a silver badge and a gold nameplate. She was about 30 to 40 years old, red or brown hair, nicely built. Looked like a cop to him. So anyway, when he told her that he didn't have either his registration or his license, the woman told him that he faced a $25 fine. Doesn't seem like much, but that he could pay it, quote, either the easy way or the hard way, unquote. When he told her that he only had 15 bucks, she took the money and left. And if you ask me, man, that guy's lucky. Because the last time I got pulled over by a male police officer who said that we could settle this either the easy or the hard way, The cop didn't mean any jive, $15. Well, at least he took me to Denny's for breakfast afterwards and sent me a nice card on my birthday. So there you go. Crypto news, and you're filled in. What about the world implications of the execution of Saddam Hussein? Have they finally shown those appropriate photos of the execution? And Howard Bloom in the balance as well. We'll talk about the mass mind of it all before John J. Harper coming up on Coast to Coast AM. In for Art, in for George, this is Ian Punnett. And I'm broadcasting from AM 1500 KSTP of the studios of AM 1500 here in the Twin Cities, as we are not going to do an open lines night. Instead, though, we will do a little segment here of open lines before we get to our guest, John J. Harper, coming up on Coast to Coast AM. The song choice was appropriate. Thank you, Dan Galante, for that. And yeah, talking about Saddam Hussein, I guess I've been told that they haven't shown the photos yet, so I guess CNN and Fox and whomever else have or will have access to the photos haven't deemed which ones are appropriate yet for us to see. A very patronizing sort of news position, I think, to take, where somehow the head cocked just to the left going, "Ugh," is better or worse than the body dropping from the gallows. I just don't know. But they've been stalling for hours, tap dancing, killing time, waiting, well, if you pardon the expression, until those photos come in. Still, the ramifications of the execution of Saddam Hussein are just coming in, too. We'll talk more about that next. We'll take your calls, open lines, and Howard Bloom for a few minutes next. It's Coast to Coast AM. My name's Ian Punnett. Ordinarily, I host Coast to Coast Live, which is on Saturday nights on about half of the stations that carry Coast to Coast AM. That show has grown enormously over the last year or so. And I'm so grateful for all the support we get from George and from Art and from all of you and from all of the stations that pick up the show. And we look for a few more affiliates coming up at the beginning of the year. Coming up tomorrow night on Coast to Coast Live, we're going to be doing a show on something called Vanishing Twin Syndrome. Vanishing twin syndrome. This is people who have either been separated from their twin at birth, but also very commonly from people who suffered from unusual effects that could only be explained when they learned that at one time in utero, they had been a twin, that they were the surviving twin. And some part of that twin that didn't survive in a physical world somehow survived within them. And we'll talk about this with an expert on the subject, somebody who's been tracking these stories for years, people suffering from vanishing twin syndrome, tomorrow night on Coast to Coast Live. If you don't have a station that carries it in your market, you can certainly find out more at coasttocoastam.com. Just click on to Coast to Coast Live, and it'll show you the affiliates or also Streamlink. And one of the things we'll be talking about tomorrow night, too, is with Howard Bloom. And I'm sorry, Howard, because it appears as though there's kind of a mix-up. I thought you were scheduled for the first hour tomorrow night, but when I came in and they said, well, Howard Bloom's coming up, I was all excited. I thought, well, cool. I guess I get him for both nights, or I was wrong, and so we have him tonight. So thank you for giving us a few minutes of your time, Howard, here, and then we'll continue this conversation coming up tomorrow night on Coast to Coast Live.
Ian, I love being on with you, and you know that. What do you think of this hanging?
Well, let me just give a little introduction for people. Not that people don't know who you are, but just to kind of set the table a little bit, because people might know you best for past books. You've talked about The Lucifer Principle, A Scientific Expedition into the Forces of History, Global Brain, The Evolution of Mass Mind from the Big Bang to the 21st Century, and How I Accidentally Started the 60s. Howard Bloom, whom, as we learned the last time he was on Coast to Coast Live, let's see if I got my facts straight on you. You got into science as a preteen when a girl actually spoke to you, Right? That was pretty much it.
Well, I'd been in science for 2 years at that point.
Oh,
I was humiliated into boning up on the theory of relativity overnight. Oh,
because of a girl.
Right.
And then you attended Reed College, but it was too normal for you. And you wrote and edited the manual of the Boy Scouts of America, paying particular attention to the chapters on...
they gave me masturbation.
Was there a reason? Was there a look on your face?
God knows. You know, I think that it was. Nobody else will take this. Let's give it to the kid. Let's give it to Mikey.
And he dated each one of the Supremes. So we'll just leave it there and we'll say, Howard Bloom, always a pleasure. So I'll start with you. I mean, I'm sort of ambivalent about this. I'm not big on the death penalty, but I kind of feel about Saddam Hussein like I feel about some bank robber who just killed a bunch of people inside of a bank and then goes out in the street and gets, you know, hit by a sniper. I mean, I'm just not going to spend a lot of time, you know, wringing my hands over him. I mean, this is somebody who's fallen on their own sword as far as I'm concerned. So where are you on this?
Well, the real question is what is going to happen in Iraq over the course of the next few days? We're involved in a very strange situation. We're involved in the longest world war in human history. It's a war that's been going on since Muhammad was given his orders for jihad in 622 AD. That's a long time ago. That's more than 1,300 years ago. The big question is, are we in a war of civilizations? If we're in a war of civilizations, if we're in a war for the life of Western civilization, if we're in a war to defend freedom of speech, pluralism, the right to protest, the right to have peace movements, and all kinds of other things that haven't existed in any previous civilizations on the face of this earth. If we're at war with a civilization that is almost 1,400 years old over that kind of issue, what effect is the hanging of Saddam Hussein going to have on the bigger picture?
And then you have to look at it both with the short term and the long term, too, and maybe the reaction of our government or the coalition forces to whatever. How much breathing room do we give to the reaction? Is it going to be celebration? Is it going to be a protest? How do we play that? That may also have ramifications down the road on how democracy is perceived and how justice is perceived in Iraq.
Absolutely, because war is a battle of perceptions. And the question is, are the Iraqis and the other people of the Islamic world, and remember the Islamic world spans half of the globe and has 1.6 billion people, are they going to perceive this as the United States putting Saddam Hussein to death, or are they going to perceive this as a government of Iraq putting Saddam Hussein to death, an Islamic government putting Saddam Hussein to death? If they perceive it as us, then it's a difficult situation. Then it's simply us trouncing on them. If they perceive it as something that's been done by fellow Muslims, then it's them taking care of one of their own problems.
Yep,
and as yet, even looking at Al Jazeera, Al Jazeera does not post on its website the same stories that it runs in Arabic on television. And I've got the Al Jazeera story in front of me, and it's bland, and it doesn't really tell us anything. What does tell us something is that in Dearborn, Michigan, and you've probably covered this already.
Sure. Well, we know a little bit about this. Go ahead.
Right. In Dearborn, Michigan, there have been celebrations in the streets. Dearborn is one of the biggest Muslim American centers in the United States.
Particularly for Iraqi Americans.
Right. And so when they're celebrating in the street in Dearborn, there's some small hope that the people in Iraq will also rejoice. But we shall have to see. We'll know a great deal more by tomorrow night.
And that's when we'll be talking about it again coming up on Coast to Coast Live. We'll adjourn for now, and we'll get back to the subject then. And thank you so much, Howard, for giving us a little extra time.
Ian, your pleasure. I'll see you tomorrow night.
All right. Have a good night, and God bless you, and thank you. And let's get to the other calls right away. West of the Rockies, Al is hanging on Coast to Coast AM. And Al, where are you going to take us on open lines?
I don't believe that the real Saddam Hussein was hanged tonight. I believe that it was an imposter. During his reign, he had two imposters that looked identical to him. He would send one or the other to events that he did not care to go to or was very cautious about. And just prior to the war ending in Iraq, the American helicopter command went after a convoy. It was a Russian convoy of 24 trucks that was entering into Syria. And the last part of the convoy was hit, and the Russians had protested, and Saddam was on that convoy, and he's in Syria, and the world is being fooled, and that information is going to come out down the line.
That you're kind of jumping in early on the prediction show idea? This is your prediction?
It's more than a prediction. It's the truth.
Well, okay, because you have an opinion, which is totally fine, but you don't. I mean, the government would say they swabbed him. They have the DNA to prove it. And you say
it is not the real Saddam.
Because
the Russians ferried him out in that convoy that went to Syria just at the end of the war.
All righty, then. All righty. You're on the record. I'm going to put you down as a prediction on that one, not on fact yet. But it's an interesting prediction nonetheless. We'll go first-time caller line where Danny is on Coast to Coast AM. Danny, it's open lines to the top of the hour. Where are you going to take us?
Hello. It's great to be on. I'm going to have to agree with Al. I think the whole thing with the trial and everything was a farce, and it was all so that the real Saddam could get out and he could go do whatever he wanted to do. I think it's all a farce. Everything about government and life is about making people, believe whatever is what the government thinks is good for them. And I think it's it's all a farce. The real guy could have been slipped out the back door while a lookalike was taken up and hanged. I mean,
all these things are possible, right? I mean, we could say this about anybody. We could say that that Brezhnev is still alive. We could say Ronald Reagan never died.
Well,
right? I mean, what proof do we really have of anything?
Well, exactly. But the thing is, though.
But I mean, where does it end? I mean, we say, actually, this is not the real President Bush. That the real President Bush was ferried away by the Chinese, and he's being held currently in, some bamboo prison somewhere. And this President Bush is a lookalike. I mean, where do we end with that?
That doesn't make any sense. I mean, what you're saying doesn't make any sense.
It doesn't.
What the U.S. government is doing in Iraq is just ridiculous in the first place. I mean, we've got this war going on where we shouldn't even be there in the first place.
Well, okay, that aside.
And now they're trying to say, we don't have any part of Saddam being hanged.
I understand
that's what they're saying now, is they're saying that we don't have any part of it. They're trying to back off of having any part of this. Is that not true or what?
Well, I don't think they're trying to back off having any part of it. I don't think they're just trying to say that the Iraqi government is doing this, and that this is a part of the fledgling first steps of this toddling democracy, and they're trying to give the credit to the Iraqi government for doing it because they don't want it. They don't want to be perceived that we're doing it, but B, they're the ones that that set up the court, and this is their justice, right or wrong. They're trying to say this is their justice. So I don't know. I mean, I guess I'm trying to go with you here to a point, but if you're saying that Saddam Hussein just that's not really him and that he really got ferried away, fine, but just trying to find some kind of proof, something tangible to hang on to on that one. So thank you, Danny. Other people want to go down that road. If they want to add to that theory, I would certainly entertain it. Let's see what more we get on that. East of the Rockies. Is it Arch who's east of the Rockies?
No.
Oh, sorry, Nick. Boy, what terrible handwriting I have. Thank you, Nick.
Hey, Merry Christmas and Happy New Year to all y'all.
Thank you, and to you too.
First off, it was funny. I just came home from the taco stand, and I was driving home, and my best friend, his name is Ahmed, and he said, there aren't really that many Ahmeds over there. When you said that before?
Doubting Ahmed.
Yeah, so he said, hey, and then before the term Arab too, so. But beside the point, I think it's kind of like a show. This whole thing is basically a show. I mean, I think it's going to be towards Bush's legacy. But here's the weird thing, because like the previous caller said, it's not going to be so much that they want the Arab world to see that we're intervening in their affairs. I mean, even though we had a large part in part to do with their affairs, I mean, it's going to be really, really interesting. I mean, I'm sure somebody, I mean, I hate to make it political, but I'm sure somebody wished this happened before November 7th, but it didn't happen like that way. So I think this may be a legacy point for the president. I mean, if...
Well, you know what? You bring up a good point. I think that's an interesting observation. Perhaps it speaks to the subject that we couldn't control it as much as perhaps, as you say, some people in the government might have wanted, that it really was outside of our control, that they couldn't expedite it faster and couldn't get it in before the fall elections, that it is more of an organic process and that we couldn't just manufacture an outcome because there's no political benefit if you're going to go down that road. There's no political benefit to a U.S. government for this execution to happen on the 29th of December.
True, true. I'm also a graphic designer. And I do a little bit of 3D modeling, mm-hmm. and I was examining past pictures of Saddam and this guy. It's not the same guy. It's a subtle differences, very, very subtle, but it's not the same guy.
Okay,
I mean, it looks like it, but it's just not. I mean,
you two claim that this is not Saddam Hussein.
No, I think it's an imposter. I mean, I hate to sound like a tinfoil hat time, but.
But hold on, let me ask you, how do we know who the real one was that you have the picture you're basing it on?
Well, like I said, I'm just basing this off photographic reference.
Well, I get that. But, I mean, of the photograph that they say is Saddam Hussein,
yeah.
that you compare to this one that doesn't look like Saddam Hussein.
Oh, of course, exactly.
Maybe the other one's the double, and this is the real Saddam.
Exactly. Good point. I was basing this off of, like, when he met with Rumsfeld and when he first came to power.
And, oh, okay.
Pictures from when he was young, he was young and decrepit and stuff like that.
Yeah, so. You're a pretty young guy back then. But okay, fair enough. Thank you. Interesting, and we'll add that onto the list of elements to the theory that it wasn't really Saddam Hussein that was executed. We may go with this for a little while longer. Albert on the wild card line on Coast to Coast AM. Albert.
Oh, yeah. Hi, Ian. I'm really happy to get online. Yeah, I just want to mention that, you know, I'm happy that he was executed, but I think that it wasn't worth it because, you know, the biggest figure that I heard of how many people he killed over the 25 years is 300,000, which is like 10,000 a year. And according to the top medical journal of the world, of The Lancet, in the study done by the top school of public health, Johns Hopkins School of Public Health, they and people can Google Education for Peace in Iraq and get it. Our invasion and occupation and the direct killing and the indirect killing from the sectarian violence is estimated to be the point estimate is 655,000 and the. It ranges from 390,000 to 920,000. But, I mean, we killed more people, we caused more suffering, and I think it's just a point, I think we should just use this as a point of reflection to say that when we try to intervene, we should make sure that our solution is not a bigger problem than the problem we began with. And, you know, I just...
Well, I'll jump in and say this. I think a lot of those figures get disputed, and I think there are some political motivations that any reasonable person would have to look at when one looks at those figures. When you say, for example, we killed them as opposed to they died in the course of a battle between us and whomever, I don't think it would be fair to compare Saddam Hussein, you know, spreading... poisons over an innocent population and what happens in the course of war. I'm not advocating for war or justifying it, but I really want to be very careful not to make that comparison. I think Saddam Hussein was a very evil guy, Albert, and I think he was a murdering son of a bitch, frankly. And I'm not going to shed a tear over his departure. But I think it's important what you said, it's always good to know that the cure is not worse than the cancer. And in this case, it's fair to point out the number of people who died in the course of freedom. We hope in the long run, that would benefit more people over the course of time. But yes, your point is well taken. You know, I kind of want to go with these a little while longer. We got a guest coming. We'll get started next on Coast to Coast AM.